Good morning, McFarland. My name is Wendy Neal, and I am the Senior Associate Pastor here. I am so glad to be worshiping with you today, where we proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, welcome. Please let us know that you are here by filling out the Connect card that is in the pew in front of you, and you can take that to the back of our sanctuary in Martin Chapel after worship, where we have a gift bag that we would like to give you as our way of saying thank you for being here. And after church today, we have coffee with the clergy. It's going to be in our library. And so if you are new to McFarland, or even if you are not so new to McFarland, if you would love to come and fellowship with us and learn more about this church and how you can get involved, we would love for you to meet us in the library after worship today. We also would love for everybody who is here to let us know that you're worshiping with us. If you could fill out the registration pads that the ushers are passing out. And for those online, if you could register your attendance with us, we would love to know that you are here today as well. If you have a prayer request, we would love to pray with you and for you. And there is a prayer request card in the pew. And also on our website, if you will turn those in to us, we would certainly love to be in prayer with you. I'm so excited that Vacation Bible School is almost here. That is one of my favorite ministries that we do in the church every year. That is going to be on June 20th, starting on June 20th this year. And we are hoping to have lots of kids come to hear the word of God, to learn about God's love for them through Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we also need lots of helpers, lots of adult volunteers. And so if you are available that week and have a little bit of time, there are lots of different roles where you can serve. And so you can go onto our app, onto our website, sign up your kids and your grandkids and sign up to help. It's going to be a great week together. We have a wonderful service today as we celebrate the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon the church on this Pentecost Sunday. And so we pray that you will experience God's power and God's presence in a very real way this morning. And so we are going to begin this time of worship by standing, opening our hymnals to number 539 as we sing together, O Spirit of the Living God.
Thank you. Be seated. Our Pentecost liturgy today invokes both auditory and visual elements in addition to spoken text, of course, and there are no printed words for you, so I invite you to look and see and hear the words from Scripture and these elements about the Holy Spirit as we lead the liturgy. At the end of each segment, please respond with the words, "Come, Holy Spirit," when we invite you to do so. As we begin, I invite you to say that with me, "Come, Holy Spirit." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord, the glory of God upon all the waters, upon many waters. Come, Holy Spirit.
The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to dance, strips the forest bare, and in God's temple all cry glory. Come, Holy Spirit.
When you send forth your Spirit, all living things are created, and you renew the face of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Come, Holy Spirit.
We remember the prophet John the Baptizer in the Scriptures who spoke in the wilderness saying, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The voice of the Lord flashes flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness. Come, Holy Spirit." Let us pray. O God, you whose loving Spirit is active and interactive in our lives and in our world, thank you for your faithfulness. Like the persistent, prevailing strong winds and gentle breezes across the Oklahoma landscape, your Spirit challenges and soothes us. May it be so today. Like the fire of the summer sun and the wildfires of nature, your Spirit makes life possible and escapes our control. Like the currents of the rivers and the reservoir lakes of this land, your Spirit takes us on a journey of faith, quenches our thirst for grace, and provides for playful joy and sportive living. And like the soil of your good green earth, your spirit provides the ground of our being and the nourishment of our growth. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for the gift of your living spirit who groans in prayer with us, even now as we pray, for these things that resist understanding and definition, things of pain and suffering, things of conflict and confusion. We too often and too quickly try to escape the wind, the fire, the current, and the pathway of your love and your justice. Forgive us. Forgive us and set us free to flourish as expression and extension of your work in the world. Oh God, may every day of our living be a real and observable demonstration of your love at work in our lives for the good of our families and for other families and for our community. We yearn for your spirit to empower the unity and effective ministry of our living together as church for the world. Expand our hearts, enlighten our minds to focus on the goodness, beauty, truth, adventure, and zest of your Holy Spirit so that we can do all that is possible to flourish and all that you require to cause the world to flourish. In the way made clear in Jesus, in whose name and way we pray. Amen.
Please stand and sing hymn 465, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine, hymn 465.
As we are entering our time of offering, I just want to take this moment to say thank you. Thank you the many ways. It is through your giving and your faithfulness that we continue to change lives, that change the world. Through your giving of your time and your resources, we are able to reach out to this community, even beyond this community. So thank you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and for everything that you continue to do that allows us to do the work that God has called us to do. May God bless his offering. You may be seated.
Sing ye a joyful song, unto the Lord, who hath done marvelous, marvelous things. Praise the Lord, O the earth. Sing praises, shout and be joyful. Let the sea roar, and all that is therein, the round world, and all they that dwell there. Lift your voices, floods and tempests, mountains, clap your hands for joy. Let the fields laugh and sing with waving corn, and let all the trees of the forest be joyful.
Seated. The scripture reading today comes from the second chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astounded, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, They are filled with new wine. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for your word and for your Holy Spirit who speaks through it to us today. And so, God, may we open our hearts and our minds and our lives to you to receive what you have for us this day. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, after I graduated from the University of Tulsa with my bachelor's degree, I decided to move to Connecticut to teach school. I was a Spanish teacher for 3 years, and I lived in West Hartford, which is a suburb of the capital city. And one experience that I had there, I will never forget. It was one day when I was at Target. And I was on my way out, and this woman came up to me with a look of desperation on her face, and she just said one word. She said, "Police." And she said it again, "Police, police." And I could tell by the way that she was asking me a question, and I could tell that she didn't speak English. And so my first thought was that she was asking for a police officer, that something was wrong and she needed help. And so I looked around to see if there was a police officer there in the Target, and I shook my head saying, "I'm sorry, I don't see one." And then she shook her head at me, and again she said, "Police." And it dawned on me in that moment that she was asking if I understood Polish. She was looking for someone to help her communicate with a store clerk, and she saw me and thought that maybe I could help her translate. And so I was really sorry to have to tell her, "No, I don't speak Polish, and I can't help you," because I really would have liked to have helped her that day. And if only I could have been like one of the disciples on Pentecost and been able to speak to this woman in a language that she understood and relieve some of her anxiety that day. You know, these days I find myself praying for another Pentecost. Not because we live in a world where many languages are spoken and we need more translators, but because we live in a world where even when we speak the same linguistic language, we seem to have a really hard time understanding and communicating with one another. And as we struggle to communicate with and understand one another, we find that we are really unsure of how to live and how to work together in this world, how to be the body of Christ. And so today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day that we remember the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples and the followers of Jesus when God's church was born. And the liturgical color today is this fiery red, and the white that we wore for so long in Easter season is left behind. We have these beautiful images on this day that are so vibrant, the sounds and the fire and the powerful speech. And yet Pentecost is not so much about the noises and the images and the languages. It's not really about the fire and the wind. Pentecost is really about what happened to the people who were there on that day, how they experienced the Holy Spirit, and how that experience would shape the rest of their lives. As individuals, yes, but really more as a community. Pentecost is about the transformation of the disciples. You remember those disheartened and those disappointed group of Jesus' companions who ran away from the trial and the crucifixion of their Lord? And they have now become these bold proclaimers of the great deeds of God. Those peasant Galileans who denied the Master, even though their leader Peter vowed that he would never do that. They're all now heard proclaiming in the languages of the world the story of God's power brought through the resurrection of that divine Son, Jesus. And this transformation of the disciples has occurred because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit has now fallen with a loud sound on the disciples of Jesus, and they are ready to carry this story and the life-saving work of their Lord to the world. That work begins here on Pentecost. The resurrection of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit has made possible the transformation of the disciples, who in turn make possible the transformation of the world. But not so fast, right? Not so fast. Such a transformation will not occur without some very serious obstacles. Because in the same way that the gospel writers Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us that some of the people who experienced the resurrection of Jesus simply did not or could not believe, so it is true that in the face of this miracle on Pentecost, there are some people there who can only conclude that those who are miraculously speaking in these languages and hearing the story of the gospel, all they can think is that, well, they're drunk, even though it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter, he scoffs at this claim, but the fact that he even has to defend the reality of what they are experiencing suggests that the opposition to the birth of this new Jesus-following community has already begun. Now, Peter's lengthy and powerful sermon right after our scripture passage, it's not simply him speaking to the choir. Some of those who were there heard it. They heard the languages. They heard Peter's sermon, and they did not believe it. And so the seeds of division and argument and disagreement were sown from the very beginning of this movement. And the world right now is very much like the world that the disciples walked around in. The unrest and the anxiety and the factionalism and the maneuvering and the leaks and the betrayals, even among the disciples, they were occurring at alarming rates, just as they are now. Pentecost took place in a world of divided opinions and endless arguments. And yet there was something that's very important about that time that we need to remember today. That even amidst divisions and disagreements, the disciples did share an attitude of goodwill towards one another. They still were able to see Christ in each other, even for what they did not understand, even for the times that they lived and there was still grace. And here we are, muddling through times that we do not understand, leaders who we do not trust, people who disappoint us, and fears that do not subside. And it is into a time such as this that our celebration of the work of God's Spirit comes. It is into this disarray, this anguish of spirits, into this time when it is hard to communicate and understand one another. It is this time that Pentecost comes. Out of the hearts of believers will come rivers of living waters. That's what Jesus promises. And so when the Spirit is poured out like water, the Spirit turns desolate places into fruitfulness, transforms dry land into a grove, transfigures the withered leaf into a green one. You know, restoration of the natural world in the Bible always symbolizes the flourishing of God's people. And when God's people are open to the Spirit, in the Bible it says that the community is restored and will produce fruit. Like the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, a flourishing world is one where joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control are the norms, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, every letter that Paul wrote to one of the communities of believers that he started addresses the arguments that they were having, the problems that they were having understanding one another. And in each letter, he exhorts all of them not to let those disagreements become the main thing. In every letter, Paul reminds the followers of Jesus that God has sent the Holy Spirit to build up the community, to empower and equip the body of Christ to share God's good news and to change the world. And Paul reminds believers over and over again that we have a divine calling, a purpose that transcends all of that. Our purpose is to witness to the world that God is real, that God loves us, that God forgives us, heals us, saves us, and that love is the way. And we're not called simply just to believe that internally in our hearts. We are called to live it. To live it in the way that we share our lives with one another. You know, right before Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit in his letter to the Galatians, he says this. He tells them, he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence," meaning to do whatever you want, "but through love become enslaved to one another." That God has set us free to become enslaved to one another. He says, "For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." Wow. The work of the Holy Spirit is not simply what God is doing in my life or in your life or any individual's life. The work of the Holy Spirit is about what God is doing in the community's life, in the body of Christ, in the church, in the world. That is what this day of Pentecost is about. It is not about you and it is not about me. It is about us. It is about the church. It is about our witness and the transformation of the world. The gifts of God, which are ours in the Holy Spirit, are ones that bring us together and bring us together with those who perhaps we don't understand or we don't speak the same language, or maybe we have only begun to communicate with one another. The gift of the Holy Spirit, as described today, is only experienced by people who are together. either in a long established community or in a community that is suddenly being formed, just like in the story of Acts. And then somehow God builds upon that first gift of community and begins to change the world. You know, in the same way, God puts us together on this journey of faith. And all on our own, we do not. But all together, we do have the right tools to do what needs to be done, to fulfill that divine purpose. And perhaps the most amazing thing that God does in this story and Acts is to break down those things that divide us from one another, so that we can see that we are meant to be one body. The power of the Spirit is discovered between us and among us and through us. And it all begins with understanding, or at least trying to understand one another. But let's be clear. The outpouring of the Spirit on that day did not bring an end to the variety of opinions that existed. It did not produce uniformity of thought. And that is still true even today. And like when the disciples were with Jesus in the upper room, we each have our own experience of God's presence and of what it means and what confuses us about it and how our fears about life are being addressed through the gospel. But we will be able, if we open ourselves up to the power of God's Spirit, to recognize in one another the goodwill and the grace of God and our connection to one another as God's children. You know, it is the Holy Spirit that makes that possible. It is not possible when we try to do it on our own. It is only by God's Spirit that it is possible, and as our scripture in Acts says, for us to understand each other. Despite the differences in the way we see this world and the differences in our expectations of the future and even the differences in our hopes, it is possible because we recognize that the God to whom we turn is the same God to whom others turn. And that God loves us all. And that God understands the truth that each of us holds dear. And we can, in the power of the Spirit, offer one another goodwill and grace. That is the work of the Spirit. And if we can allow the Spirit to work in us that way, imagine what is possible after that. Imagine what God can do in us and among us and through us after that. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for your Spirit among us. God, that you are so active and present and moving. And God, that you call us to be a people of joy, of love, of kindness, of patience. And so God, when we are tempted to not do those things, we pray that your Spirit would move in us, would transform us, so that we would be the people who you have called us to be. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As we come toward to the time of Holy Communion today, we invite you to turn in your hymnal to page 12 and to participate using that. And those of you live streaming with us, of course, the words on the screen for you. This is an open table, and all guests are welcome to come. Everyone's welcome to come to the table. We will be serving in a couple of stations here, and we have small prepackaged chalices with bread on the bottom and juice on the top. And so we usually begin with the bread so that it's a little less messy that way. And we'll be inviting you to come, of course, and we also have gluten-free, so just let us know if you need gluten-free. And this is an opportunity each month for us to also give an offering to our utilities assistants, and so you may do that at the altar rail if you choose to come to the rail and pray. You can also, of course, return to your seats and partake there. So Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with each other. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us make our private and silent confessions. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us join together in the great thanksgiving. It's page 13 on your hymnal. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come.
out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The table is set. I will invite those who are in the balcony and those in the choir to come first, and you may come.
Thank you.
us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. God, we pray that we would go into the world in the strength of your Spirit, to give ourselves for others, to love our enemies, to be a good neighbor, to offer goodwill and grace, and to live the life that you call us to live. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please stand and sing hymn 57, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, verses 1 through 5, hymn 57.
Go forth today to share the story of God's mighty deeds and do it in a way that people can understand. Do it with goodwill and with grace. And so go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.